Thanksgiving and prayer. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. The power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and anointed him. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's just pray for Chris. So, Father, we thank you for Chris. We thank you for his faith in you, his seeking your face for what you would have him say. And we pray now that you will anoint him as he speaks, that it will be with your power, and that we will have ears to hear and hearts to respond. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. It's a great passage tonight. I suppose, being a good Bible student, it's good to kind of work out where this comes from, because it's such a good passage, you could just jump straight in on a whole bunch of stuff, and yeah, I'll have some of that, that's really good stuff. But just for those of you who are less familiar with where this was written, it was written to the Ephesians, an unusual group of people, actually, in that when Paul writes to them, he isn't actually telling them off. He's not rebuking them. There's not an issue. Normally, I mean, the letter's written. I mean, you know, most of the letters are written because there's a reason for writing, isn't there? You know, he's not writing because he's got nothing better to do. He generally writes because there's an issue or a heresy or an issue that he really wants to see sorted out. But with the Ephesians, it's not that. The Ephesians themselves are quite an affluent, powerful, influential bunch. It's a harbour town, intersection of routes, so it's actually commercially pretty powerful and significant. It's got a pagan temple, so a lot of people come worshipping Diana. It's got, actually for Paul even, it was a centre where he came and preached the gospel, and it was a hub where he would send people out from. So it's actually quite significant. And the church actually flourished really, really, really well. I mean, there were some words spoken about it later in Revelation 2. But generally speaking, it was a good bunch of people who were doing really well. And the main theme is, like I said, there's not a major heresy or error that Paul's trying to correct. He's basically trying to expand their horizons. He's trying to get them to think bigger, to think beyond what they know of who God is, about his grace, and about his purposes for them and for the church. So actually, this is a brilliant book. I mean, it became a letter that was circulated around churches, so it's not just for one group of people, but primarily these guys in Ephesus. So if you want a summary for what it's about, it would be that, is it Jimmy Cricket? I can't remember. There's more. There's more to who God is. There's more to who he has for you. There's more for his purposes. There's more. I want you to try and I like pictures. I like trying to encapsulate things in picture form. So I want you to try and think through this group of verses as a human body, if you like. Because what Paul starts with is he starts by commending their faith in the Lord Jesus. Okay, so imagine that as one foot or one leg or whatever you like. Okay, their faith in the Lord Jesus said, you know, he's so glad that they've got such strong faith in the Lord Jesus. It's a pretty strong commendation. I thank God for you every time I think about your faith in the Lord Jesus. So there's a strong faith. And also, imagine it as the other foot or the other leg, however you picture it, your love for all the saints. So this is an amazing church. You know, Paul doesn't mince his words, does he? He's not the sort of guy that pulls any punches, and he says it how it is. But he says to these guys, you know, I praise God for you every time I think of you, for your love, your faith in the Lord Jesus, and for your love for everybody. So these were good people. This is solid stuff. You think, well, brilliant. That's pretty much the end of the letter, isn't it? Because actually, we might be forgiven for thinking, well, what else is there? You know, we're loving God and we're loving people. End of story, isn't it? I think for perhaps some of us, if we're in Paul's position, we might think, job done, move on. They're doing well over there. But actually, he doesn't. So as we work up the body, if you like, I want you to think of, you know, your heart, your spirit, what's here. Because actually what he then says as he gives thanks for them is he asks God something. He asks God for something for them. And first of all, the spirit of wisdom, the Holy Spirit to come and bring wisdom and revelation. So he's asking the Holy Spirit to come and reveal who God is to them. I think, well, they pretty much, they have a solid faith in him. What is he asking? And he also prays for the eyes of their heart. So when you think of eyes or heart, but I think of it here. Because actually sometimes when we think we're pretty solid, we think we're pretty solid in our faith and we're doing all the right stuff. Actually sometimes we can do the right stuff for the wrong reason, can't we? We know it's good, so we do it. Actually our heart can be far from some of the things we do sometimes because it's the right thing to do. We're loving people. We're being faithful to what God's called us to be. But actually our heart's not in it. And as he's praying, I pray that your heart would be opened. I pray you burst with all the goodness of who God is. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you bring revelation into people's hearts and your eyes open up with how amazing God is. Because then he goes on, and he doesn't stop. You think, is there more? Because he goes on, I pray that as your heart expands, as your heart opens, as the Holy Spirit brings revelation, that you know for sure the hope that he's called you to. That is everything he's got for you. It's not just a wishful thinking. This is the hope that's sure and certain in Romans 5 terms. It's a hope, a solid hope of everything God's got for us. And the riches of his inheritance. And the power working in us. And this is the amazing bit. This is where you think, well, he can't get any more than that. Because you think, he's praying for hope and for riches and for power for this group of people. But not just any power, not just more influence, not just a bit more. He's praying for the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Now, I reckon if I did a straw poll of how many of us have actually seen someone raised from the dead, would be very few hands raised. And it's a pretty incredible thing. I was in a room when the person who was speaking had prayed for someone and seen someone raised from the dead, and it's in your heart you're thinking, trying to get your head around this, but I know this stuff happens. And but imagine being in the place where somebody was raised from the dead, where they were absolutely, you know, in front of Jesus or in front of anybody come to that, but somebody raised from the dead, the power that raises somebody from not living to living. I mean, it doesn't get more dramatic than that, does it? This is the same power. I don't know if you've really thought about that, but what God really wants for us is his power working in us, not just a little bit, just to help us out, not just to be a bit more patient, a bit kinder, a bit more loving, but the same power that raised Christ from the dead through all that Christ went through into raising him from the dead back to life. My mind boggles when I think about that. I'm just going to read that part out because I think it's really good to just remind ourselves. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly realms, far above all rule, all authority, power and dominion, and every name that's invoked, and any name that's invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him head over everything for the church, which is body, and the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Amazing, isn't it? That is what Paul is praying for the Ephesians, and that is what that's what we're called to as well, to know that power. Because actually, most of the time, I think we probably live with the eyes of our heart fairly closed, don't we? We get on with the stuff, we do the right stuff, we ask God to help us and keep us focused. But the story that came to mind was Elisha and his servant in 2 Kings 6. They're in a sticky situation, and basically they were surrounded, and they got armies on every side, and they were doomed, basically. Elisha's servant got up early and went out and saw an army with horses and chariots all around the city. The servant said to Elisha, "Oh, master, what can we do?" Elisha says, "Don't be afraid. The army that fights for us is larger than the one against us." Then Elisha prayed, "Lord, open my servant's eyes and let him see." The Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw that the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. It's exactly the same thing, isn't it? The ability to see with our heart what we don't actually currently see, to see that there's a power working in us and through us when we're open to it, of God at work in us that we perhaps miss sometimes. That's exactly what Paul's praying for the Ephesians, that Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, would bring revelation, that the eyes of their hearts would be opened. And they were faithful in believing. They were doing all of that stuff. And that's actually vital and fundamental. If you like, what are we without our feet on our legs in terms of being able to get around? You just think about that as our body being able to move around. It's absolutely vital that our love and our faith is absolutely crucial. But it is possible to miss the more, if that makes sense. Since Paul wouldn't be praying for it, if it were impossible to miss it. He's praying that their eyes would be opened, the Spirit would bring revelation, and just like Elisha was praying for his servant. We can miss the full measure of everything God has got for us, and we can completely miss it. Just a slight aside in terms of when we've missed something, that a power that was available to us and have missed. A while ago, I think how long ago, maybe a year or two ago, I bought our blue car, we have to name them by, rather than adult names, it's always blue or black because that helps the children. So it's definitely the blue car. And I bought it, a second-hand car, not particularly amazing, it's not like super swanky car, but and I've been driving it for a month, driving down the Link Road, one wet, drizzly day, and something happened that completely freaked me out. I was driving along, and it started raining, and then my windscreen wipers came on. Like, I had no idea what was happening, and the windscreen wipers came on. I was like, that is weird. I carried on driving, and it got really heavy, and I speeded up. I'm like, what's going on here? And I was completely frightened. I got no idea that in this car there was this function called a rain sensor, which I then thumbed through the manual and found out that it actually existed. But I've been driving this car for a month without knowing it did that. It must have been a very dry month in North Devon, very unusual. But we do that, don't we? We can do that in our faith. We can do lots of things. I've been driving this car around with this power available to me that I had got no idea about. When I was reading around this, Tom Wright, as he's sort of looking at this passage, cites a story where he went to visit a friend, and his friend obviously lived on the coast, had a telescope, and Tom Wright asked the question, "So how powerful is it?" Because he'd been looking from his window with his binoculars, and he could see a couple of boats, a couple of fishing boats nearby, and then some kind of boat in the distance, and thought, "Oh, well, I wonder if I can actually make it out on the telescope." Got the telescope, and he was like, whoa, he could see these two boats. He could see the writing on the side. He could see people walking backwards and forwards. He could see not just those boats really clearly, but there was a whole fleet of boats behind he had no idea existed before, with real clarity. It basically is it opened his eyes that there were things out there he got no idea about. It was powerful, that telescope. So I don't think it's coincidence that actually Ephesus, the Ephesians, were actually quite a powerful people. Like I said, they were powerful economically. They were powerful politically because of the influence they had being where they were placed. And they were powerful in terms of as a religious center as well. They had all that influence. They had the pagan worship. But they had this other stuff going on as well, where there were some people who had magical powers. And they'd make things happen. They'd evoke things to happen. And essentially, if you like, all the principalities and powers, they had it. But nobody had seen anyone bodily raised from the dead. See, I wonder if sometimes we have too small a vision for who God is and what he can do through us. We perhaps have our faith in a little box in terms of what God can do and what he will do, what we expect him to do. But actually, God's way bigger than that. There's a power available through us, not for us exclusively, but for the world out there, the world that God died to save, that he wants to make available through us, and we can miss. And we want to really wrestle with how we open our hearts to that. So the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so they might know him better, the eyes of the heart be enlightened and opened. So what he wanted, the goal of his prayer, was that hope, that amazing hope that actually isn't just a wishful thought, but it's that strong hope he's called us. All the stuff, when God first thought of you, when God first thought of another person, all the destiny, all the hope and all the love he had for that person to bring it out, that's what he's praying for. For all the riches, everything that God's got. Imagine that. Try and imagine God's bank account. All the riches of heaven. All the riches of your inheritance in him. And the power, not just any old power, but the power that raised him from Christ from the dead. See, when, as British people, we start talking about riches and power, we start feeling very uncomfortable, don't we? Because actually it's very un-British. We start thinking, oh, this sounds a little bit like prosperity gospel, and we're a bit uncomfortable with this as British people. But actually, this is not for our indulgence. This isn't primarily for us to indulge in. This is actually the fullness of God expressing itself through us to a world that needs to hear it. It's primarily his love demonstrated through us that needs God's riches and God's power to express itself. It's not about being selfish. It's about demonstrating his love without judgment. I spent way too much time sitting on trains recently on long journeys to and from London. And I get tired, although I can actually read, as Shirley pointed out, I really well, actually, as it comes through. But I actually quite like other people reading to me, so I got an e-book, and they do this really clever thing where they'll read it to you as well. The guy who wrote it actually reads it, and I quite enjoy that because you kind of hear tone of voice as well. And this is a book that somebody recommended to me ages ago, and I thought, I really should read that. It's called Translating God, and it's really just talking about one guy's journey on hearing God and sharing it with people, so prophecy essentially. And I just want to read to you a story that he starts this book with. The context is just understanding the power of God available through ordinary people like this guy and us. I was sitting next to a man on a plane ride to Australia, so I struck up a conversation with him and found him to be very engaging, even though he seemed a little distracted. We talked about life and family and careers. He was working for oil companies, and this was his last month traveling the globe for them. He was particularly fascinated by our work against human trafficking and had not heard the current research or grassroots efforts by groups like ours. He appeared very touched. At one point, he got up and went to the bathroom. You can tell where he comes from. That's when I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. He hasn't told you the whole truth. He's not working for oil companies, but he's the air marshal. Now, basically, security guy on the plane. I want to encourage him about his retirement, which is coming fast. I also heard a word of knowledge and got his wife's name, the place he always wanted to visit in Europe in his retirement, and knowledge about his daughter who was pregnant with complications. I was so overwhelmed when he got back, I did not know what to say. I'm not surprised. It's like, whoa, is that amazing that God would do that? He initiated, and this is the point, that isn't just to think, wow, isn't he amazing, but just listen to what the outcome of this. He initiated, though, not knowing what he was inviting, and started right in about God. You were talking about your relationship with God and how you felt called to do what you were doing. How did you know you were called? I loved the lead into my word for him. I began to explain how real Jesus is and how he has so much love for us and is present in our lives. Then I asked him if I could share with him some things I felt God was showing me in order to encourage him. He was very excited and said yes. He told me, you are the air marshal and that your wife's name is Patricia. He also told me that he wants what you want more than you ever wanted it, like going to the Italian vineyards in southern Italy when you retire. He also told me about your daughter, Anna, and how she's pregnant but experiencing difficulties, and how you prayed and asked him to help her. You told him you'd do anything if you would just help her. He wants to help her more than you do, and she and her baby are going to be okay. He had tears in his eyes the whole time. When I talked about his daughter, tears streamed down his face. He was gripping both seat handles intensely. I'm not the air marshal, though, he said. I laughed because he'd just received a direct communication from God that impacted him deeply, and he was trying to cover his base about his job. Well, is anything else true about what I felt from God? Yes, all of it, he said. But I'm not an air marshal, he was covering again. I just laughed because I knew he was, but thought maybe he was required to say this. We prayed together and exchanged information, and when the rest of the passengers got off the plane, he stayed behind. I didn't get to say goodbye because he went up to the cockpit. When I was at baggage reclaim, I felt a hand on my shoulder. I turned around, and it was my new friend. I can't believe that God showed you I was an air marshal. I had to go and do a background check on you before I talked to you. That was amazing that God showed you all of that. I want to hear from God like that. And this is the bit that got me. I feel like everything is right again in my world. That's the power of God, isn't it? This isn't to glorify an individual. This is actually, we want the full measure of everything that God is. Because actually when we experience that and it flows through us, people like that are impacted and know how real God is. See, that story was full of redemption. It was full of healing, hope, calling out all the hope in that individual and that God first placed in them, and freedom in the lives that it touches. We are a channel of God's love to people. So all revelation, all that of God's riches and hope and power is given to point people to Jesus and his ultimate purpose and plans that he has for them. Because actually, if you think about God's ultimate purpose, if we go to John 3:16 and 17, it says, God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, so that whoever believes in him may not be lost, but have eternal life. God did not send his son into the world to judge the world guilty, but to save the world through him. And that's what God's power expressed through us, God's love expressed through us, does. I don't know about you this evening, but just as we close, but I desperately want to see God's riches and power at work through me. And I'm not ashamed to say that. I want to see all the full measure of God poured through me into other people. I want to see that restoration from that story and countless others, to bring that ultimate purpose in those people who know God and those who don't know God, to call it out and to see that restoration and that hope restored, that freedom and that hope he talked about. But in order to do that, God needs to do a work in me. I need the eyes of my heart opened on a daily basis, not just once. And I need to receive the Holy Spirit's revelation. And I wonder if what I'd like to do as a prayer, really, is just to read that passage again. And for us, as I read it, just to reach out to God and actually to ask that, yeah, maybe we are faithful. We're full of faith in the Lord Jesus. and we're loving people, and that's brilliant. And the Lord loves us, whether we do that or not, but he loves what we're doing. But actually, there's more. And let's just, as I read this, let's just call out to him and reach out to him for that more. For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I don't cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the Lord God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he's called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is that immeasurable greatness of his power towards those who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Amen.